What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Larkin, Texas, filling in for Michael today. Just a reminder, Michael will be back in the saddle, I believe, on Monday is the word. And I want to remind you, too, that you, too, can call in. The number is 800-313-9443. You can join us in the chat room, whatreallyhappened.chatango.com. And we've got nine people in there. We've dropped a few interesting links and the like, and I think that that would benefit y'all that are listening today to at least pop in and see what you can learn, see what you can glean. Another reminder, if you want to get on my email list, just send me an email. Just write subscribe in the subject line, alarkintexas@gmail.com. alarkintexas@gmail.com. Don't forget to visit Mark Windows' website. That would be windowsontheworld.net. Also on YouTube, he has a channel by the same name, Windows on the World on YouTube. And learn about his Sunday talk radio show or his podcast and also his live stream that he does every Wednesday. And I think you'd be well served to visit that website and learn about Mark Windows. Also remember Vicki Davis's website, thetechnocratictyranny.com, and also channelingreality.com. She does a radio show every Saturday, governamerica.com. So anyway, we do have a caller. Did one of y'all have something to say before we bring on a caller?
One last thing, if I may, Lark, before I go.
Sure.
Let's not forget the roles, the specialized roles of the three set-apart cities throughout the world. In Rome, you have the Vatican, a city within a city with its own autonomy that is administrative of religious matters. In London, you have the city of London, the banking sector, a city within a city with its own laws. The Queen can't even visit there, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, without an invitation. Again, the seat of financial administration. In the United States, you have the District of Columbia, city within a city. Well, the United States is sort of the mercenary military wing of things, administrative things. So those three things are those three cities have very specialized roles in this whole process administratively. So
guess what? They're all and today they're all communitarian.
Yep, exactly. It's all one big communitarian administrative power block. You know, so
they're singing the same song from the same playbook because they are integrated, they're coordinated, and there's the seats of your global power right there.
Yep, exactly. One quick question for Mark Windows. Which version are you, Mark? Which version of Windows are you?
I'm the 2020 Corona free version.
okay. Very good. All right, thank you, Lark. Take care. Sorry if I took too long. Right. I hope I didn't take too long. Bye bye.
No, thanks for calling in. The gentleman from Arizona, if you'd like to call back in, I know you dropped a minute ago, feel free. Meanwhile, let's go to Pat in Fort Worth. How are you, Pat?
Fine. I'm going to try to get people to go back to the archives for this. It's very good. I want to call about something a former caller said, but I thought about this when I was on the phone, and that was, April 6, 1992, the U.S. ratified the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights at the United Nations, and it was by a stand-up, unrecorded vote. We had one person who would have objected to that, but Jesse Helms, but he was in the hospital, and supposedly, it overrides our Constitution. Okay.
Can you say what it was again? I broke up when you said it. What was it?
It was come up with in the United Nations General Assembly in 1966, of course, in 1970. The U.S. ratified it in April 6, 1992. By an unrecorded stand-up vote, and Jesse Helms was in the hospital, and he could not object to the fact that they said it will override our Constitution.
Okay, but what was the name of it?
Okay, UN Covenant on Civil and Political Rights.
Okay.
And yeah, you heard that, Vicki? UN Covenant on Political and Civil Rights.
Civil.
Yeah.
Civil and political.
I'm writing it.
Civil.
Civil and political rights.
If you want to think about what you guys said before, when I was talking about the ecumenical, Catholic, whatever, the ACLU.org/whatever, they say that it's anonymous view here, anonymous, privacy and technology, religious liberty, reproductive freedom, smart justice, voting rights, women's rights, and the covenant. Well, anyway, see, all of those are debatable about what is a right. You know, I think that you got to go by the Holy Bible, King James Version, because all our rights come to us from God, and we're not going to overpower God. He is still the supreme justice of this world, and as long as we keep reminding him of it, maybe he will stick up for us, you know, and all this stuff doesn't have to come down like it's coming. It appears to be that they're in charge. But I really don't know about this coronavirus thing. It's kind of weird that there are thousands of cases in Italy where the Vatican is because, you know, all the justice as far as women's rights and rape and all that, the Catholic Church seems to slip right under it. But, you know, God sees everything. And I think this whole country, the world, especially Russia, when God starts throwing rocks at them like he did a few years ago with a meteorite hitting, and China has earthquakes that kill 300,000 at a time, America is on slippery slope by trying to vote against God. He gave us the vote, and he expects us to use it. And if we don't, if we say, well, I don't like the way he holds his mouth or something, you better look at what he stands for, because the homosexuals are ready to take over the world. They've taken over Israel, practically, Tel Aviv. I mean, and they've taken over the world. And they're the devil. And the people, I'm not saying each individual person is a devil. He's deceived. But if he doesn't consider what's in the Book of Rights that God has, well, he's in trouble with God. I'm sorry. I just had to. I've been wanting to say that ever since.
There's a few important points there.
Pardon?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to be done with our implied consent. So I agree with some of what you're saying there, because our inalienable rights cannot be taken away, but we can consent to have them taken away. I think it's very important.
Well, God can show us what our rights are, so we need not try to push them on him. He has the final authority, I'm telling you. He can get the whole world's attention at one time. It looks like he's got it right now.
Well, if we take our rights from the Bible, then we have inalienable rights, yeah.
Well, only the rights that are in the Bible will ever, if we remind him of his word and do vote when we have a chance, try to clean up the vote so that they can't just say, oh, well, it's duly elected. No, sometimes it was duly cheated and people need to wake up. They just need to wake up. And maybe if they can't go to work, maybe if they can't go to a ball game and talk about what the boys are doing, the NFL or whatever, you know, maybe they'll have to sit home and think. Especially if they listen to y'all, maybe people like y'all.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks very much for that, Pat. Good contribution.
We need to sit here and think. Think. That's what we need to do. Think.
Yep. Along that same line, let me share. Thanks for calling, Pat. That was good remarks. Appreciate it. I want to share with y'all something just real quick. You know, there's something called the buy-in. I know whether that would be the public acceptance. A lot of times there really is no public acceptance of anything. It's all manufactured. just like using, when we think about the Hegelian dialectic of problem, reaction, solution. The problems are manufactured. The reaction is anticipated. Both sides, all sides are controlled of the expected reaction to that manufactured problem. Or, yes, because at the end of the day, they have a predetermined solution in mind. And this is how we get led along in history, along a particular path that is not our own. In the communitarian's mind, the buy-in has already and successfully been engineered. So now, the slaves, that would be you, that would be me, everyone listening, can implement the vision. The corporatist model of governance utilizes a corporate framework to impose its caste system on everyone who chooses to engage in contract, a type of voluntary servitude, if you will. It's no wonder why the trend towards privatization of government. The corporate business model is well entrenched as a fact of life in the public mind, which is to say it's readily accepted. And therefore, it's the ideal vehicle for those hell-bent on monopoly and your acquiescence to their communitarian system of global governance, their management system, so that today you and the community can better place a stranglehold, a death grip on this world. And to that, I'd like to suggest that you all take a look at a book that you can read for free on the internet. It was written in the 16th century. It's simply entitled The Politics of Obedience, The Discourse of Voluntary Servitude. Are you volunteering yourself into slavery? We must ask. And then these two quotes, very brief, from The Law, written in 1850 by Frederick Bastiat while he was still in university. As long as it is admitted that the law may be diverted from its true purpose, that it may violate property instead of protecting it, then everyone will want to participate in making the law, either to protect himself against plunder or to use it for plunder. When plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men in a society, over the course of time, they create for themselves a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it.
Boy,
that's from The Law.
That really describes it, doesn't it?
It sure as hell does.
Definitely.
And these are books written in the 18th and 19th century that you can read for free on the internet. They're not even very lengthy. But when I say that we can liken this entire system to a tripartite equation. Socialism, however you want to describe it or define it, equals gangsterism, organized crime made legal, equals slavery.
Well, talking to that lot, it's interesting, several of your callers there referred to the United Nations, and I'd just like to bring something up from the UN Charter of 1947. That lady previously was talking about the UN, but this is from their Charter of 1947. The UN and its agencies, properties, and assets, wherever located and by whomsoever held, are immune from every form of legal process, search, requisition, or confiscation, from any form of interference, whether by executive, administrative, judicial, or legislative action. They can freely move funds, gold, or currency between countries, will be immune from taxation or immune from prosecution, but can themselves bring legal proceedings. So how much more do we need to know?
Yeah, I also want to mention another YouTube video that y'all can watch that I think is quite insightful. It's simply entitled 700 Years Banking Cabal by William Stewart. That's the number 700. 700 Years Banking Cabal by William Stewart. And then also the aforementioned Best Evidence Channel and the research of John Titus. Remember, whoever wields the power of the purse wields the power of the sword. And this system goes back a long ways. You know, I think it's really true that we have a system in place which we can liken to feudal or neo-feudalism as it's styled today. Let's go back to the phones, y'all. We've got Chris in Las Vegas. How are you, Chris?
I'm wonderful, and I'm dazzled with the array of guests that you have with you today. Vicki and Mark are very astute and excellently informed contributors that fit right well on the Republic Broadcasting Network with you.
I like to know smart people, Chris.
I agree. If we travel with dogs, we can wake up with fleas. Maybe we'll get a little smarter if we hang out with some people of your caliber there. My observation is this. The Anti-American Bar Association has assimilated all separated powers under their private association bar, which is not a... There's no license for bar practice. It's merely a union dues ticket, as most of you know.
Yeah.
Further, we are experiencing a tyranny of the judiciary on a global basis. And so it is very, very dangerous in these days because, as Bastier, you pointed out, wisely observed, plunder has become a life, way of life. The bar has authorized itself to plunder, rob, rape, and pillage the people. They're stealing homes right and left, throwing widows out on the streets. And we're going to wake up homeless on the land that our forefathers died and spread their blood for in the way it was forecast by the founding fathers.
Yeah, we were warned, weren't we?
Yes, ma'am, we were. And so this is a really, really dangerous time. They are trying to provoke us all on the whole planet to violent rise up so they can crush us like bugs, like they'd like to pretend that we are. But I'm interested in your comments. Thank you.
No, that's great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, there's nothing to argue with there. I mean, he's absolutely right. I wrote an article a few years ago called... Empire of the Black Robes, and it is how basically the world is going to be ruled by judges, because they're the ultimate arbiters of everything, right? And you just keep going up to the top court, the top courts in The Hague, and so the world will be the empire of the Black Robes.
And the irony of it all, Vicki, is that most of these people have experienced trauma-based mind control and programming. It started out when they went to law school. You know, they learned about the rules of court, the rules of criminal and civil procedure. They learned about the rules of evidence, and then they learned about case law, stare decisis. And, you know, they had to cram. You know, it's quite arduous to go through law school and then to take the bar exam. And then look what happens to doctors, you know, when they serve their residencies. These people are cramming all the time. They seldom have the opportunity to really question the authority figures, those other doctors, those law professors and the like. And so, in my opinion, just as Chris elucidated, what we have today, what you elucidated, Vicki, is we've got really a criminal protection racket. And people, I'm sure, would like to extricate themselves from it. I remember on the very first broadcast I ever did on RBN, there's an article, I think her name was Margot Lane, and she talked about the fact that she was a practicing attorney, and she did, in fact, realize that she was part of a criminal protection racket.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad but true. Good observations, Chris and Vicki. I think the truth is that we get conscripted to evil quite easily in this world, especially when we ally ourselves to any kind of a collectivist entity. That could be a syndicalist trade association. It could be a trade union. It could be a white-collar trade association like the U.S. Conference of Mayors, the National Governors Associations, and the like. There's many... or syndicalist organizations just like this. But when you're not in charge of your own destiny and you're not making decisions for yourself, you're giving in to somebody else's authority. Hold that thought, Mark, and we'll take this break. And we'll be right back. Hold on, Fred. We'll get to you in just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
so, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Take your baby by the hand and make her do a handstand. And take your baby by the heel and do the next thing that you feel. We were so in phase in a dance hall days. We were cool on craze. When I, you, and everyone we knew could believe, do, and share in what was true. Oh, I said, dance all days long. Take your baby by the hair and pull her close and there. Take your baby by the ears and play upon her darkest fears. We were so in phase in a dance hall days. We were cool and crazy. When I, you, and everyone we knew could believe, do, sharing what was true.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. What really happened? Larkin, Texas, filling in Once again, for Michael Rivero, Mike will be back on Monday. And we're joined today by Vicki Davis in Idaho, USA, and Mark Windows in the UK. We also have on the line, I think we have Chris. Stay on the line if you wish, Chris. And let's bring up Fred in Michigan next. Wolverine, Fred, how are you?
Hey, Lone Star Alert. Okay. The C word, there's a parallel called cancer, the big C word in that realm of a communitarian, what shall we call it now, fraud, death agency certified, pharmaceutical, medicide, chem med, poison pushing establishment. So cancer, and I see communitarianism as the overarching cancer that plagues mankind on planet Earth. And just like the physiologic anomaly called cancer, it's reproducing out of control. And the best way to circumvent and terminate it is to shut off, terminate its fuel energy source. You don't have to kill it. Don't have to burn it, poison it, yada, yada. All you got to do is terminate the energy source, which
I think Mark, I think Mark described it very well. He called it the globalist mind virus. Look it up, y'all, on YouTube. It really is. This is a meme. It's a destructive meme. Remember, a meme is a unit of cultural replication. A meme is a mind virus. And you can actually read a book on the internet. You can read the reviews on Amazon by Richard Brody. It's called Virus of the Mind, The New Science of the Meme. Remember, I shared with you the quote from Callie Lassen of Culture Jam, Adbusters earlier. We're in a mimetic war, and so long as we have careerists and credentialists and opportunists merely wanting to get ahead and be success-driven as they are, you're going to have people adopting this language, and they're going to accept this meme. They're going to become the host for this parasitic meme called globalization, totalitarianism, global governance, or communitarian governance. It's really all one and the same. They're adopting the language. And so long as we are parroting the same language that our overlords, our overseers are presenting us, then we are becoming hosts for that same parasite. So that's why you never hear me use the word community, for instance, or sustainable, for instance, without prefacing my use of that word or words with the fact that I recognize that these are parasitic mind viruses.
That's really good, Lark. That's really good. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, well, that's what's happening. We're all basically potential hosts for this parasitic meme, which is the language of the communitarian globalist. They really have a language, and we don't want, as long as we're parroting that language, we're not doing anybody any good. You know, I mean, just the use of the word community, period. I mean, we all think that we know what this word means. And it's a nice, cosseting, friendly-sounding word. We like community. We like the idea that our neighbors are looking, they've got our backs and the like. But we have to remember
the
people of the age.
Yeah, they like this word reclaim. And I think we should reclaim real language because it is a propaganda war. And we get that in the UK a lot. I get demonized for what I put out. And what they do here, as same as America, if you go against their memes, it's, I suppose you voted for Trump. I suppose you voted for Brexit. I bet you think Elvis is alive and well and lives on the far side of the moon.
Hold that thought, Mark. Right? Gentlemen, Sheldon, stay on the line.
Okay.
We'll take this break and be right back, Mark.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Happened radio show. Today we've got Mark Windows, windowsontheworld.net, Vicki Davis, Channeling Reality, also the Technocratic Tyranny.com, GovernAmerica.com, every Saturday morning from I think 10 to 1 o'clock Central. And we've got a couple callers on the line. We have one more caller waiting in the wings that I want to bring in. And so let's do that now. Let's bring in Sheldon from Spokane, Washington. How are you, Sheldon?
Well, fine. I just walked in, and I couldn't find a pen quick enough. Could you please reiterate that title of the 1600, something about government and behavior or something?
It was called the Politics of Obedience.
Yes,
the discourse,
sir.
The Discourse of Voluntary Servitude by Etienne de la Boetie. Forget the French name. Yeah, you should find it easily. The Politics of Obedience, the Discourse of Voluntary Servitude. And, of course, the other one is also French with the English translation. It was simply called The Law by Frederick Bastiat.
Do you have a year on that?
1850.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sheldon. I hope you enjoy it. Those are good reads. They're well worthwhile.
That's tonight's entertainment. Take care.
All right, very good. Anyway, Chris, would you have some concluding remarks for our final segment today? Okay, how about you, Fred? Would you have some more remarks? Okay, cool. Well, sorry, guys. I do the best I can under the circumstances. Anyway, I'm very concerned about the young people in our future. You know, I'm in my mid-60s now. I don't have children, but I do have a niece and a nephew, and they're both college educated. They're very good people. But I am opposed to slavery, and that's what I see in the offing, ladies and gentlemen. I see slavery. And, you know, we like to think that things like piracy and barratry and slavery went away. But no, I think they just assumed new guises and permutations, as I referenced earlier. Slavery never went away. Organized crime never went away. The ways of the world are still the ways of the world. But I want to remind y'all, too, that this is the first day of spring. And there's much to look forward to in this life. You know, we have the seasons have changed. I see it when I walk outside. The weather has changed. The flowers are blooming. It's time to mow the lawn again. And we don't have to buy into this narrative, but we have to be aware of it. And we have to be aware of the things that we discuss here at RBN, at places like at Windows on the World and the Technocratic Tyranny, because if we're going to be engaged in this life, we have to be aware of all that surrounds us. We have to realize that a lot of well-meaning people buy into this nonsense because it behooves them professionally. John Maynard Keynes, a Fabian socialist, if you recall, in an address at Harvard University after World War II, he said the Marxian socialist had it all wrong, but the Fabian socialist had it all right. Instead of targeting the wage slaves, the people that did not own property, to win them to their cause because there was a greater pool from which to draw on, ostensibly to attack the Bastille, to storm the Bastille and remove the source of the oppressor, the monarch or the king, what have you, the aristocracy, the nobility. The Fabian socialists targeted the well-to-do, the trust fund babies, the smarter than usual people, the prettier people, the more handsome people, the people that they knew that others would look upon as thought leaders. Those are the people they targeted. And that's why you see that the most brainwashed people in our system today, in our society, are those that are the most privileged very often and the most educated. Remember, science today is physical sciences, life sciences, and social sciences. They've thrown them all together. A watchword that's very important in a communitarian world is this word socioeconomics. Because both of these are pseudosciences, whether you call it sociology or you call it economics. These are pseudosciences. These are not exact sciences. So we're in a world where we have to separate always fact from fiction. truth, reality, things like that. We have to realize that they conflate terms like morality, ethics, and behaviors, attitudes, values, but they have precise meanings. Always remember, too, though, they conflate the language at their will in a communitarian system. And the language oftentimes works against you because it, too, is a technology. Like all technologies, a tool. It can be wielded for good or for ill. So don't allow the language, which is in your own head, to create outposts that work against you. So I want to remind you, once again, you can write to me, alarkintexas@gmail.com. Simply write subscribe. I'll send to you my 9 words, which is my blueprint for remedial action. How it is that you can combat communitarian code speak. How it is that you can understand the anatomy of slave speak, which I always remind people is well worth a read. Anatomy of Slave Speak. You can find a version at climateviewer.com. It's very well done. Jim Lee over there has got a nice copy. And read that. Read those quotes. I think it will be helpful to all of us. Your thoughts, Vicki or Mark?
I agree with everything you just said. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah, this is the spring. This is the springtime of our lives, ladies and gentlemen. It's the first day of the rest of our lives. And we can be winners. Remember, you are a oner. O-N-E-R. It's one of those crossword puzzle words, but it's in the dictionary. O-N-E-R. That's what you are. You're unique in all of creation. One of a kind.
Well, yeah, that's true. Except that in the globalist system they're building for us, we are one as a unit. A unit of slaves as one.
That's right. That's right. They want to control the narrative because this is a way that they will be able to control your mind. If they can control your mind and brainwash you, that means they can control your behavior, your actions, your activities.
Yes.
It's just that simple. And, we are a social creature. We are a gregarious creature. We like to get along. It's part of our nature. But see, they use this against us. Knowing of our nature, they can use this against us, and they can deceive us. And that's what this globalist communitarian agenda is all about. It's about bringing people on board. It's about engineering the buy-in. That means voluntary slavery is what they're after. They want you to volunteer yourself into slavery.
Yeah, it has to be done with consent. And I think that there's some really good points have been brought up tonight, Lark and Vicky, and the listeners that you have are very well informed. And I don't think the general public know much about this kind of word salad that is being used as a weapon against them. I mean, every single document from every single organization, every public-facing body uses the same word salads, these communitarian word salads. But I think it's time to reclaim language. Actually reclaim it. I think in the UK, it's kind of funny this, the Apostrophe Society actually closed down. For the apostrophe, right? But that's just kind of indicative of the kind of dumbing down of the language structure. But they use the word reclaim all the time, reclaim. So we need to reclaim the terms that they've hijacked. For instance, if they talk about climate change, we'll say, well, the climate always changes. What do you mean by climate change? Do you mean that anthropogenic global warming is true? Well, it's shown me the paper which says it's true. Give me the facts. I'm only interested in the facts. Your words, salads, are of no consequence. And this does help you when you go into a court of law, because the words that you use are precise. And if they're used in the right way, They are extremely powerful. So I think this, what we need to do is reclaim language, really.
I think so. We need to remember, too, that just like, you know, mimetic warfare is a real thing. Mimetic engineering is a real thing. It goes to meme theory. You know, the word itself, meme, was coined by Richard Dawkins in a book that he wrote in 1976. And it was called The Selfish
Idiot. Yeah, he's a useful idiot. That's all he is. He can't argue.
Right.
He doesn't really have any facts. He has to have pre-written questions that he looks at, and he's the useful idiot that's rolled out. Okay, let's use their word salads and call them useful idiots, you know, which is actually what they are. These people, they're there for a reason. They're there pushing an agenda, and they don't have anything behind them. They have no substance.
Well, see, a lot of people, too, are flummoxed by the idea of this word thing. You know, they associate a thing most often in their minds as something that's physical. It's not necessarily mental or intellectual. But today, along in, you know, on Madison Avenue, for instance, meme theory and mimetic engineering and mimetic warfare is what's discussed in every boardroom meeting. You know, memes are very important in modern communication, and especially via the internet.
I think advertisers have pretty much always done that, even if they didn't use the term.
I think that's true. You know, these are the things, quote unquote, today's top tier marketers, political scientists, economists, social scientists, military strategists, and propagandists are hip to so that they can better manipulate people. Since all appeals are to logos, ethos, and or pathos, it'd do well for us to get hip to these things, too. Remember, any appeal that is made to you appeals either to emotion, your sense of reason, or your sense of ethical appeal. Communitarians, whether they are cognizant of their new label or not, are often unwittingly made a party to such arrangements and schemes. When big money enters into the group picture, you have the makings of a large-scale, often malevolent, mimetic marketing campaign or campaigns that are waged like warfare in this, our media-saturated, big data-driven information age. There you have it in a simple nutshell. Let's bring up Howard in, I guess, Massachusetts. How are you there, Howard?
I'm doing okay. It's pretty, we're in wild times. I've been listening for a while. It's a really good show. A lot of great stuff on here so far. But I wanted to chime in just about the language thing. And something I find incredibly baffling. I mean, there's so much conformity and groupthink and, the propaganda. Like, it's amazing what people are believing. I mean, just it's really breathtaking how easily people are led around by the nose. You know, because whatever, this or that, they said this, or, you know, and these media outlets talk to people like we're children, you know, with this propaganda. But anyway, the thing that is most mind-blowing to me is people not using the word I anymore, like at all. Like, you know, love it, all this kind of thing. No one uses I anymore. I mean,
go
ahead, Vicky.
6 months ago, I wrote a... Oh, sorry, my bad.
No, go ahead. I just was commenting. That's really an interesting observation.
Yeah, definitely.
I hadn't paid attention until he said that.
You know, Howard, as you were making those remarks, I'm looking at an article here by one of these local freebie magazines you get in your, from your health food store in your mailbox, whatever. This one's called Natural Awakenings, by the way. Okay. The title of the article is entitled "The Emerging Power of We," quote unquote, awakening to the evolution, awakening to the evolution of community.
That's just funny. It's funny to me. I mean, it's scary, but funny.
Probably written by somebody that went to university. It's probably 28 years old or something.
Right.
Individuals work collectively. Yeah. Individuals need to work collectively, but they don't not need to be part of a collective hive mind, really. That's what it's about, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that you can get an entire population to not use, because 6 months ago, I thought I'd reached the breaking point where I was getting a little bit tired of it. I'd see Love It or like, there's just dozens of cases where they're just no one's using I, or they're not even using any pronoun or like at all. But then people that I never thought would, you know, people that might be older who just seemed they wouldn't start catching on with this because they've been around too long and they're, you know, 55 and they didn't get indoctrinated, but they're just going along with it too, like parrots. And then I started to get like freaked out. And then you think like, well, no one can even write a sentence with a grammatic, I love, you know, whatever, you know, art or something, you know? And so now you're like, well, actually, if you say love art, it's like, you're now telling me to love art. It becomes a command word, you know? it's ridiculous. An entire language is basically on its face, you know, through some introduction of whatever subtle, you know, thing this is, but it's taken over. It's amazing. That's pretty much all I had to say, but thanks for listening.
Now I'm going to be watching for it all the time because
you'll see it.
Yeah, it fits with the reconditioning of people, the redefinition of society and communitarianism. And that's probably why I'm a contrarian, because I've never been a joiner. I just can't be a joiner. I am just me. And so
I want to remind you all before we're running out of time that there is such a thing as cybernetics and cybernetic theory. I would recommend that y'all look up something called The Coalescence of Cybernetics. Go to the website that is by the American Society of Cybernetics. Take a look at the timeline, because when we talk about biological inputs, this speaks to what cybernetics is all about. It speaks to the marriage of man and machine. And this is something worthwhile to bring into the discussion, perhaps on a future episode. Again, Howard Rafa made these comments. I think of myself as a decision analyst who believes in using subjective probabilities. I would prefer being called a subjectivist than a Bayesian. He also said, I got an idea. Call it applied systems analysis, because nobody will know what it means. We had a clean slate. And this is what brought together these experts, these scientists, these eggheads at those Macy conferences post-World War II. And they decided, since they could not speak intelligently or intelligibly to one another because their language is so specialized, that they would discuss the nature of control, because all of them had an interest in the nature of control. So at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, it's about being in control of your life.
I that's why I'm so horrified by the systems that they're building for society, because the systems that I worked on within corporations were systems of control, and they were totalitarian systems. The systems analysts made the decisions as to what the employee would input to the system, what their function would be, based on what the corporation wanted. You know, so I'm horrified that they are implementing these kinds of systems society wide and globally.
Well, it's up to us, the ones who are getting informed about these things, to remember. First day of spring, ladies and gentlemen. First day of the rest of your life. And despite what they're throwing at, you know, we all have minds of our own. We really do. Mark, I want you to promote your websites and your podcast and your live stream real quick before we run out of time. And Vicky, the same.
Okay, thanks, Locke. Yeah, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. GMT on YouTube. That's a live stream, which stays there, obviously. And every Sunday, 9 p.m. GMT, that's at windowsontheworld.net. We have a chat box there. We have a chat box on Wednesday. And the audiences are growing because we're getting more resistance from people in sort of think tanks and NGOs who are cottoning on to the fact we're having an effect. So they're actually bringing in more listeners. So thanks for that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Now, Vicky, you're the same. I want you to promote your websites and what you do on Saturdays with your radio show.
Okay, my website is, my new one is thetechnocratictyranny.com. My old website is channelingreality.com. And I do a radio broadcast with Darren Weeks called Govern America. And you can go to governamerica.com every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Central. Is it 10 a.m. Central? I know it's 9 o'clock Mountain
yeah,
Time.
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock Central to 1 o'clock Central.
That's
yep, very
three,
good.
3-hour program.
And I'm quite the fan of both of these folks, ladies and gentlemen, for whatever that's worth. I want to remind you, I like to communicate with people one-on-one. I like to be helpful to people. What I'm interested in is focus groups, mastermind groups. I did study marketing for a time. I'm very interested in bright people coming together because I don't think that we are waging this war in a way that it can be waged if we could simply bring together the brightest minds amongst us and create these mastermind groups, these focus groups. These are integral to any kind of successful marketing campaign. And remember, marketing today is not just about selling products and services. It's about selling ideas. And right now, the communitarians are winning because you have all the best and brightest amongst us that have been brought under their tent because they want to be seen as being on the side of the winners. And so yep. They're working against us, but we are much greater in number, and we do have a collective force if we can bring that to bear. The most important thing that we can remember is that this is our lives. This is your life, the life of your loved ones, your friends, your neighbors, that matters. And yes, these issues that we talk about here on this broadcast, on this network, they do matter. They matter because we're not having these conversations often enough. We're just really not. But we can change these kind of things if we can simply realize that most people simply don't have the time to invest, to learn about the things that most of us listening, the three of us on the phone here today, on Skype here today, are aware of. So because we have this advantage, then we need to have a sense of responsibility and duty to our progeny, to our friends, our loved ones, to spread the word. And I want to thank both of you all for joining me today. You've made it a whole lot of fun for me. And thanks for our callers and you two listeners. Stay tuned for John Stabmiller and the National Intel Report. And we'll catch y'all on the flip-flop.
Thank you, Lark.
Thank you. Thanks, Mark.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.